Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pitaya. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. Wow, that was really good. That was so good.
That's my shitty witch inside a Party City animatronic.
Oh, it's like a stereotype of a witch.
Yes, that's my sound effect.
Because witches actually sounded like, oh, I know how to do math. That was a witch back.
I mean, yeah, that was a witch. A witch was, I'm going to make chamomile tea.
Yeah.
And then they were instantly hung.
Burn her at the stake.
I'm actually going to Salem next week.
Oh my God, like, because you love spooky season.
I do.
So are you going to, like, communicate with our BFFs? I feel like we would have totally been witches in Salem. I would have 100% been burned at the stake. They would have been like, this girl does weird voices. She is totally possessed by a demon. I guess I am!
Absolutely. That would have been us for certain. I'm looking forward to it. I've been to Massachusetts a couple times and Boston. But this is my first time in Salem, so this kind of coincides with today's episode.
Yeah, so today we really wanted to talk about horror films, horror movies, horror, the genre. I absolutely love horror. I love it. What do you feel about it?
I do. Honestly, it depends on what kind of horror. I think a lot of people assume automatically because of who I am and I love all this shit and I got married on Halloween and blah, blah. The only type of horror I do not enjoy is slashers because I am very phobic and I do not like the human body. I cannot even look at photos of my own colonoscopies. So I cannot watch Hostel or Saw or anything that is filled to the brim with gore.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, you give me demons, you give me ghosts, you give me all that shit, and I'm fine, but not gore.
No, I get it. I also feel pretty similarly. I love, you know, when it's the tension is sort of the main character in the film, when it's like you don't know what's going to happen, and it's almost like psychologically torturous versus like physically. But, you know, there are basically three main types of horror film. There's the horror of personality, which is like one person is disturbing the normal. So that's like your psychos or your, you know, Freddy Krueger's. It's like this, which is, I love those, which is like one person creating chaos or one monster creating chaos. Then there's the horror of Armageddon. I don't like these because this is like disrupting the normal through massive destruction. Like it's like, you know, apocalyptic horror, which for me gives me far too much anxiety because I'm like, this could happen. I don't know if I like this. And then there's horror of the satanic, which is like, you know, the more religious sort of demon possession type of horror film, which I enjoy, but I can't fully immerse myself in because since I'm like kind of an atheist and I don't believe, I'm also Jewish, and I don't really believe in any of these, like, Catholic stories. I I'm like, it's so clearly fake to me that I can't, like, it just doesn't even seem like a potential reality I can even play with in my mind.
Yeah. It's funny because I do believe in ghosts and all that shit. And I am spiritual. So for me, it's like, I don't know why I put myself through the torture, because I believe it is real.
Mm-hmm.
So, but ultimately, it's fascinating. So I watch it anyway. You know, recently, like, I was in Dallas and I stayed in a really shitty hotel. And I just watched straight ghost hunting TV.
Are you insane?
Listen, Joanna, it was either that or Friends. And honestly, Friends is scarier. So I'm going to go.
Bro, I watch Friends just to be able to fall asleep at night. I guess we're different there. For me, watching scary, horror, macabre things is almost like riding a roller coaster. Like, I have to mentally prepare, and it's like a big deal. It's like I look forward to it for days, and it's sort of this momentous occasion. And what I sort of like about horror films, even the ones that I don't necessarily fully enjoy watching, because there's horror films where I'm like, I don't know why I'm still watching, I'm not having fun. It's like, in every horror film, we start out with a normal, right? Every horror film, like, opens and it's like, oh, this is normal. This is a normal life. Hopefully nothing happens. And then bam, something happens. And maybe it's because I'm neurotic and I think bad things are going to happen to me all the time, that actually seeing it fictionalized gives my brain some release. It's like, see, when things are too normal, something's coming around the corner. Like, that is literally neurosis in a genre. It's you can never relax because something is coming around the corner. When things are too normal, where things are going too well, something's gonna come and literally bite you in the ass. Literally, it could bite. There might be a villain that just bites asses. You know.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of indie film somewhere about that specific serial killer.
I mean, we had a human centipede, you know? I feel like we should write one.
That would be really funny to see what the fuck we could come up with.
I mean, there was a movie that, like, had it was a vagina that had teeth, which I think is genius.
I mean, if you do your Kegels.
Yeah, if you do your Kegels, you can really, you know.
You can snap off a penis. It's a skill, you know.
I love this.
You don't necessarily need teeth, but.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
You know what's interesting is Latinos tend to over-index, which is a marketing term for just they consume a lot of horror. Like, Mexico loves zombie movies. They love horror films. And I think it has something to do with our culture. Like, there's nothing more creepy than the stories my families tell me about, like, what goes on in Los Llanos of Venezuela. Like, before the horror film, there was folklore. That was the original horror film. It was just, like, stories told from generation to generation. And I know there's, like, a couple stories in the States that I heard, like the girl with the ribbon around her neck that, like, was beheaded or whatever. But I feel like Latin America is, I don't know if it's the magical realism of it, but I feel like we love these horror stories and these, like, this folkloric, creepy vibe that when I found out that we just, like, consume a lot of horror, it just was not shocking to me at all.
I mean, listen, I went to a Catholic church for my godson's baptism a few months ago, and the first thing I see upon entering this church is zombie Jesus. It's not like a sweet photo of Jesus.
Oh my God, really?
It's a huge painting, like giant, like maybe 8 feet, 9 feet long, and it's of Jesus laying down in his tomb, all bloodied up, and like stabbed on his side and with a crown of thorns, and he looks like this really terrifying zombie Jesus. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is a Catholic church. I mean,
it's so true. Honestly, when I was a little girl and my mom was like, you know, I'm not Jewish, your dad is Jewish, you can choose whether you want to be Catholic or Jewish. And then my mom would take me to these creepy churches that scared the shit out of me. And then my dad would take me to these synagogues that were just rooms with like colored windows and had like no scary iconography. You know, it was just like a room. I made my decision solely based on that. Like, the Catholic religion is so, it's so oriented around death and torture.
Yes.
Yes. It's the torture of Jesus, and it's the death of Jesus, and then it's Jesus being a ghost and coming back, bitch. Like, that's a horror film. Just read the Bible.
I mean, the Bible's full of people coming back from the dead and just a lot of violence and beheadings and just, oh, it's a lot, you know? So,
yeah. And then a culture that's like over 90-something percent Catholic, I mean, they're so used to every Sunday they're hearing these creepy-ass stories, and then it's like, yeah, fuck it, let's go to the movies and watch some guy with a saw, like, follow people around. I'm sure there's a chapter in the Bible that had something akin to this.
But that's what's fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Every time I go, you know, out here in L.A., we love our Halloween out here. I feel so welcome because, again, Miami was a place that if I even wore like a fucking green wig, people would look at me weird. Versus in L.A., every day's a day to wear a costume. No one gives a shit. It's Hollywood. You don't know what's going on. That could be someone's day-to-day attire.
I literally saw in Hollywood people with wigs and literal costumes. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Day in the life. There's a lot of Halloween centered conventions here, especially in the summer, like Midsummer Scream. That's a big one. And I attend a lot of them. And I'm going to be real. Most of the attendees are Latino.
That's so interesting.
But then we're not seen that way on TV except for like Los Spookies, right? So it's like weird because we're so into this shit and we're a lot of us are just fucking goth weirdos, but then we don't see ourselves represented in that way, which I find fascinating because we truly are horror fanatics.
And it's really fascinating because Spain also produces a lot of horror. Mm. And then another country that produces a lot of horror and consumes a lot of horror is South Korea.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to fuck with those.
No, and they're, like, really crazy. And then Japan also, you know, is a big producer of horror. But, like, there's a big difference between Western horror and Eastern horror, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the main character in Eastern horror is more about, like, atmosphere and tension. And then the West, it's more like shock horror. It's like, bam, in your face, with a knife. Versus, like, you know, The Ring was an adaptation of a Japanese film.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, like, this little girl, she didn't have any weapons. She just was coming out of a well. And you just, like, the mystery was the scariest part. It's like, what's this bitch gonna do to us? Like, or, you know. And I'm, like, so curious to understand maybe the why of it. Like, why is it that in Western cinema, which is most of the cinema I've consumed, like, why is it more geared towards shock? And I personally like more, like, ambiance horror.
Then you would really like It Follows. Have you seen It Follows?
I loved It Follows.
Yeah.
So for those of you that haven't watched it, It Follows is, like, I've never seen a horror film like this. It's sort of symbolic. It's not really a horror film. It's kind of like, it's not even a satire because it's not funny, but it's like about venereal. I feel like it was about venereal diseases.
Yes. You can catch a spooky STD. It sounds funny talking about it, but the only way you can pass on this creepy, terrifying ghost monster entity is by screwing someone else and then it follows them.
Can you imagine going to the doctor and being like, hey, yeah, just an STD test. And they're like, yo, so you got ghost dick. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Your penis is haunted. but what I loved about It Follows is it felt very of the time. And horror films, much like all films, but I think in particular horror films, do a really good job of representing the time it was made. Like, every horror film, and some of my favorite horror films, really represent the era it was made in. Like, even, for example, Get Out, which was, I think, a very recent horror film directed by a comedy director and actor, Jordan Peele. Like, that is a horror film that's message was racism and racism in America.
Yep.
And although a lot of horror films don't necessarily, like, aren't like Jordan Peele films that are like, I'm going to make a point about this, they end up representing what people are afraid of at the moment. So I'm gonna tell you, like, some fun little facts about decades in horror film cinema in the U.S. and what was actually going on.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So the first horror film, it was a French horror film. I don't know if you know this. It was like made in, I think, like 1890s or something like that. Super early. It sucked. I watched it. It was kind of more of a comedy than it was a horror, which we'll get into later, the how comedy and horror are so correlated.
Mm-hmm.
So big horror, how we see it, began in the 1930s. And it was all about like monster movies. That's like the golden age of like cinema.
The classics,
horror,
yeah.
The classic, like horror, like monster movies, like this person or thing is coming, Godzilla's coming, and whatever. But in the 1950s, we were in the Cold War, right? Like, it was like, will they bomb us? Will they not? Will there be total annihilation? Will there not? And there were so many films about invasions. You know what I mean? Era como que people were like, what are people the most afraid of right now? Invasion? Let's make a fuck ton of films about it. But like, not talk about the Russian invasion. It's escapism, but also totally not, because all your fears are being represented on camera. But then in the 1960s, it was like a decade of like social revolution, right? And that gave way to a bunch of films that pushed the norms, and movies were getting way edgier and explored more like themes like sexuality, like Rosemary's Baby and Peeping Tom and Psycho, which is freaking weird. I love Psycho. You love Psycho too, right? I think it's like the quintessential psychological horror.
I recently rewatched it.
It's so good.
And it was groundbreaking because you see the death of a lead.
That's such a good point. We had never seen that before.
Yeah.
You follow a character and then you think that's going to be your main character and then she freaking dies. Like right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it was really, sorry, I'm biting ice as I'm doing this. I don't know why I just bit ice. I think it's because I'm like anxious as I'm thinking about these movies. So that scene broke a lot of rules. Like how in the 1960s people were breaking rules. Like your main character dies. And then also it's kind of sexual. It's a woman bathing. It's a very like odd scene that mixes sex and violence in a weird way. There were a lot of postmodern philosophers that actually wrote about this scene. I had to freaking read about it in my annoying Alfred Hitchcock class in college that I got a B minus in, but I clearly did not retain a lot of information about it. But anyway, so then we have the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 70s, it was like nihilism central in the States. We had the Vietnam era, you know, we had social issues were still being tackled. The movie industry was like less afraid of tackling a lot of these things. So, you know, there's horror films that attacked things like sexism and Stepford Wives or consumerism and Dawn of the Dead and then religion and war. But then in this era, that's when like exploitation films hit their stride with like morally questionable like mixes of graphic sex and violence. It was like really intense. And if you think about it, dude, this was the time where serial killers were all the rage.
Yes. And that is coming back now, no.
Oh, God.
That's coming back now.
What, the serial killers?
Because of our fascination with true crime, Dahmer is one of the number one series right now on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of making a little circle back to the serial killers.
Yeah. And like, so the 70s was like cult of personality around serial killers that never existed before. The term serial killer didn't exist until that time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the news, you know, blaring all this serial killer shit and like weird sexual crimes being committed. And then you see it reflected in the films that were being made. It's almost like it's harder to see it in dramas, I think. In horror, it's like taking society's biggest fears in the moment and then making it watchable. Because in this time, there was also a bunch of zombie movies. Like, zombies were, like, all the rage in the 70s. And I think it has to do, I have a theory.
What is your theory? Because I'm curious.
So I'm going to steal this theory from another podcast I listened to a while ago. And I didn't fully steal it. They referenced that vampire movies and zombie movies are, like, constantly ebbing and flowing. So if zombie movies are como que popular, that means that zombie movies will be popular in the next couple of years and people will stop producing vampire movies. But zombie movies and vampire movies are like a constant como genre that we keep going to at different times. What's weird is they correlated that when there were Democratic presidents in office, vampire movies were like very popular. And then when there were Republican presidents in office, zombie movies became very popular. And it's weird, but the theory is a lot of the propaganda against Democratic candidates are about them being part of an elite and educated and, you know, wouldn't invite you into their house and a lot more sexually liberated. And
yeah, vampires like to get it on, you know.
Vampires like to give you hickeys and then kill you, you know.
It's a very sexy death.
It is. I mean, zombies are not sexy. Vampires are sexy. Do you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
I'm sure there's a sector somewhere on the internet that disagrees, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I never want to go there.
Sexy zombie. Okay, continue.
So then when Republican presidents are in power, the theory is that zombie movies are more popular because populism becomes like a bigger aspect of how they get votes. So like fear-mongering, and this is what Democrats say about Republicans, fear-mongering, telling people that someone's going to come take their jobs, so you stop critically thinking and you just follow the things that your leader is saying, and that's kind of like what a zombie would do. So there's this like vampire zombie theory that I think is very interesting. And like in the 70s, it was like zombie movie central. But also what happened in the 70s was like two of the biggest horror films ever were made. And like it's The Exorcist and Jaws, which I love. I love both of those films. I think they're some of my favorite horror films.
It's so funny because I never considered Jaws a horror film, but I guess you're right. It is. It's a fear that people have, and it's a very real thing that actually happens.
Yeah, it's not like a little demon child.
No, it's like a legit, you know, Jaws was very realistic.
And you know what I love about Jaws is, you know, in the 70s, we didn't have great special effects. And Steven Spielberg's, like, animatronic shark was so bad that he actually, like, directed the film to avoid seeing the shark. And that weakness, that perceived weakness of the shark being like so bad actually made the movie so good because you hardly see the shark and it makes it scarier.
Of course.
Not seeing it. Maybe that's why we don't like torture horror films.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't need this.
Because it's all in your face.
It's all in your face. And it's just disgusting. Like I want to be able to eat my food and keep it down.
You don't want to be like The Exorcist, like vomiting, like.
Well, The Exorcist is still really good. You know, despite the vomit scene, I mean, I think there's still so much anticipation there because you don't know what she's going to do next because there's a demon inside of her and they're unpredictable and they play all these games. And it's like, and again, it's probably why it's one of the best till this day. And people used to call me The Exorcist.
Ooh. Why?
Not because I acted like a demon, because I looked like the actress Linda Blair when I was little. Me and my mom looked very similar to her.
Oh, yeah, you do.
So people would be like, you look like the Exorcist. And then I'd pretend to turn my neck around fully, and that failed. So
I mean, thank God. If you had said, and I did it successfully, I would be like, this is a horror film currently in it, occurring as we speak.
Woo!
So then we have the 80s, right? And we have like the slasher. That's when the slasher film sort of becomes like the it film. The like freaking knives, blood everywhere. I think it's because special effects started getting a little better.
So like, let's do this cool shit.
Yeah, let's just have like blood come out of elevators in The Shining. You know what I mean? They're like,
but they still had really cool stuff, though. I recently rewatched The Shining 2 nights ago, and I'm like, damn, this is so good because, again, the pacing is what's fantastic. That little boy, creepy as shit.
Red rum.
I'm sorry, kids are creepy.
Red rum.
I'm like, that. The moment that kid was talking to himself in the mirror with his little finger, and he's like, I'm like,
why are kids so creepy?
Throw the entire child away. That's when that meme of like throwing the baby out like midair. That would have been me. Like, I have some friends that have kids, and they're like, Jenny, my kids tell me the creepiest shit. I'm like what? They're like, that they had another life. And they had another mother in New York, and I'm just like really weird things. And the kids are like only 4 years old, and you're wondering, where did this come from? Throw it away. But then there's also Chucky, and like, yeah, there's a lot of like kid centered horror.
It scares me the most. Like The Ring is a little girl. There's a lot of little girl horror.
Little girls are terrifying in a lot of
those. But why? Because I think it's so interesting because in real life, they're the least scary thing. Like if I am in a hallway and I see a little girl, that is the person I am least afraid of in the world. If I see a group of boy teenagers, I am running away. Even if they're talking about Pokemon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, there is a lot of inherent sexism in this. I remember I was in a writer's room for an animated show, and there was a whole debate because it was just me and another girl, and the rest were boys, men, and they were we were debating whether this character should get possessed, and there was a lot of back and forth, and the network wasn't happy because they're like, women are always getting possessed in media. You rarely see men. And so it's a lot of like losing bodily autonomy.
That's so interesting.
In a sense, it's like a rape, right? Like
it is. It's a rape.
It's a rape. And so, and when I thought about it, I was like, oh my God. Like the exorcism of Emily Rose and The Exorcist and a lot of demon possessions in film and television they happen to women predominantly. I can't even recall. I'm sure it's happened in some horror movie, but I have yet to see it myself where a man gets possessed.
And you know what's interesting? In Alfred Hitchcock films, other than Rope, which centered around actually a gay couple, women are either the victims of violence or like at the core of the violence. And a lot of the imagery in Alfred Hitchcock films is very sexist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you see it in slasher films, which is like the sexuality of women running away from a knife, which is, you know, it's phallic. It's all very, it tickles like the bad parts of our brain. All of it does. And it's like how sex and like violence, I mean, in my brain, I can't imagine them being close by, like where I register horror and where I register sexuality, because like, no, thank you. But clearly there is a correlation there, which is why films in the 90s, I really like. Some of my favorite horror films are from the 90s because you had the Blair Witch Project, which completely broke the norms of horror. It was a quintessential 90s horror film. It was a it was just a camcorder and friends, and you don't ever see anything. It's just tension and fear, but also through a vehicle. I think it's like, for me, it's like the original vlog. Blair Witch Project was the original vlog.
People thought it was real.
People thought it was real.
People thought it was like a documentary, that it was real footage. Yeah.
That's what I think it was like. You know how YouTube broke apart walls from creator to like people that watch? And even now, like TikToks that look too edited and well done don't feel authentic. So things that look a little shitty and crappy, like Gen Z humor and Gen Z content is so like, what makes it good is how bad it kind of looks.
Yes.
Because it feels like really real. I think that's what the Blair Witch Project did so brilliantly. I remember watching it and not sleeping for nights. And you never see anything. It's so well done. Like, that is, if we go back to what we talked about earlier, that is basically an Eastern horror film. It is all about, como que la tensión.
Yes.
You know, it's not shock. It's fear. It's that's what I like the most. It's playing on neurosis. It's playing on your brain filling in the blanks, which is always scarier than seeing it.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
But then in that time, we also had Sixth Sense and Silence of the Lambs, which were like Oscar-nominated films. So the horror went from like not a particularly respected genre to like, oh my God, the Oscars, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of it was like campy and stuff like that and, you know, low budget. And obviously I have to shout out I Know What You Did Last Summer and Scream and The Craft. The Craft was one of my favorites from the 90s.
Which were like funny. Like they were self-aware.
Yes.
Like they knew what they were doing. They weren't taking themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
Like Scream was a satire of a slasher film that ended up being treated seriously as a slasher film.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah.
You know? Which brings me to the next part of our conversation I want to talk about. Because honestly, like 21st century horror is just a bunch of remakes and like torture porn and like Shock Factor. And then obviously Get Out with cultural significance. But it all leads to this part of the conversation.
I think finally Jordan Peele is resurrecting it.
Yeah, which is interesting because where I wanted to lead this conversation is we have Jordan Peele, which for me is one of my favorite directors. Nope is one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. I liked Get Out, but for me, Get Out felt like a sketch that was extended into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barbarian came out recently, and that was also directed by a comedy guy. So comedy and horror have always had this like weird connection. Like the first horror film, which was this French horror film made in like the turn of the 20th century, was actually kind of a comedy. And I think it's because human beings, when we're like presented with shocking things, sometimes we laugh.
Yeah.
And sometimes we laugh to get through really difficult times. And for me, I guess the sex and the violence part is hard for me to like grasp in my own brain. But the violence and comedy part is easy to wrap around in my brain. Because the most horrific times in my life have also been the funniest. Truly.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a correlation and even in the formula. And I love a good horror that involves comedy. I know it's not as common, but that is fascinating.
But why do you think it is? Like, why is Jordan Peele such a successful horror film director? Jordan Peele, who starred in Key and Peele, he was just a sketch comedy guy.
Well, that's what it is. It's sketch comedy, and there's always a game to be played. You know, for those who've never studied improv and sketch, there's always a game to be played in most sketches, in most sketch comedy formulas. You see it very clearly in a lot of the Key and Peele sketches when they had their show. And you knew off the bat that Jordan Peele was a huge horror fan because a lot of sketches of theirs always took a very dark and morbid turn. Even if it wasn't inherently a horror-related sketch, like it would always go there. And so
you're right.
Horror very similarly follows this like formula, and there's a lot of gags and things escalate.
Yeah.
To the point that shit gets so ridiculous that you almost laugh because you're just like, this is impossible. Like,
yeah.
And so a lot of Jordan, a lot of Key and Peele sketches, which if you haven't seen their sketches, I highly recommend it. They're brilliant.
I think they're some of the best sketches I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, some of the best. And their sketches always have a very clear game of like one-upping, and things just get more. Just when you think it cannot get more ridiculous, it gets more ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So I can see why Jordan is such a strong horror writer and director.
Well, like, if you think about it, so for people that have never done improv comedy, you know, you go on stage and you have nothing planned and you sort of like figure it out as you go. And now a lot of people think it's magic, but it's not. You know, we're trained, and it's like we have a rule, which is you go about a scene normally and then something unusual happens in the scene. So it's taking the unusual thing that happened and taking it to an extreme. And that is, at the essence, the core of sketch comedy. It's taking an unusual thing and escalating it to a maximum. And horror, what you said is brilliant. Horror does the same thing. We start off with a normal, you know, picturesque scene, and then something unusual happens, and then it escalates and escalates to an absurd level that we can't even wrap our brains around, and then it resolves. So it's the same structure. I think horror does what comedy does a lot of the times, which is make commentary about the society it's in without feeling like straight commentary. Like, comedy is a way of like learning about the news or about a culture without it feeling like it's being fed to you. It feels like entertainment that just happens to inform you. And I think horror reflects the society it's in a very similar way. And in films like Get Out and Nope, are symbolically making points and satirically through horror, trying to change that, trying to bring light to things in society that need to change.
Yeah, I am so glad that there's people like Jordan Peele right now really bringing horror back to a place of respect again, because again, I'm sorry, like, I just, Human Centipede.
But the Human Centipede is essentially a comedy. It was a commentary of the torture porn horror trend. It's all satirical.
You know, then kudos. Because I never saw it. I could never see something like that. I would never eat for like 5 years after seeing that fucking film. So
I loved it, but I also hated it. I you know what I mean? I feel like horror is something that como arouses our like guttural basic human instincts that like,
yeah, well, where we're sitting on the couch eating candy corn and
and it's
having
like
our dogs on our lap.
I think horror is, out of all the genres, goes from being the worst of the worst to the most brilliant of the most brilliant, and there's also a celebration in it being bad. There's so much cult following of bad horror films. Being bad is like, it's not only being bad in that like, oh, we do sex and we do violence, but it's also like, if we do it poorly, you might even like it. You might like it even if it's done poorly, because it's horror. But that's not the same for a comedy. A comedy that's bad at being funny is not a good comedy. A drama that's not good at keeping your attention is not a good drama. A horror that's kind of bad at being a horror literally gets cult followings. Like, Rocky Horror Picture Show is not a horror.
Oh, yeah. No.
But it is. It's called Horror Picture Show. It's a comedy. Mm-hmm. It's a musical. What is it? But, like, I think horror is the most, como que, malleable. It's a weird genre. So when people say they don't like horror, I don't get it. Because I'm like, what do you mean you don't like horror? That's like saying you don't like shirts. You like certain shirts? You just don't wear shirts? Like, there's too many options for you. I guess that's a bad example because we all have to wear shirts. But, you know, I'm tired. I'm jet lagged. I guess I feel like, for me, I'm constantly afraid. And there's something very gratifying to be like, I'm gonna control my fear. I'm going to sit down, press play. I can pause whenever I want, and I'm going to be scared. about something that isn't in my life. It's something that's on my on the screen and I know is like actors acting. And it is an escape. And Daniel, my husband, doesn't really understand it because what he sees, like he wants escapism. But sometimes for me, escapism is being shown what I'm afraid of in a controlled manner. So like serial killers and true crime and all this stuff, like I can control when to stop it or not. And I can also, I feel control watching it.
That yeah, that makes sense. Like you're more in control just sitting on your couch watching something like that.
When I'm in a new situation, maybe it's because I've like, you know, I was growing up, I would change schools every 2 years. I'd change houses. Like the unknown is something that still scares me. Like walking into a dark room is almost like walking into a new school. It's like, you know, it's scary. It's unknown. I don't know what's going to come at me. But I think watching horror really is an it is this like weird way of playing the game without living it. And I find it really satisfying. Very, it's almost like I do control myself. I can control the fear in my life. And that's, and I think that's what horror films, like the best ones do. I think the ones like Psycho is a psychological study. You know, it's about someone that can't let go. It's about someone that like has this, can't be in regular life. And so you watch it and you're like, I'm not this person. I can never be in this situation. I have control over not being in this situation. I'm safe. Weirdly, horror gives me feelings of safety.
You know, it makes sense because I always wondered why my dad is like super anxiety ridden. And I clearly get that from him. And so I'm like, why is my dad, who has a lot of anxiety, constantly watching horror movies? Like, he'll watch the most disgusting thing. My mom and dad both love horror. My dad can handle the more like slasher torture porn type stuff. Like, it doesn't matter. He somehow is not grossed out or anything. But like my dad, for some reason, like I remember we'd be going on a cruise and the day before he'd be watching one of these boats sinking or Jaws or some shit. And then we'd go on a trip and it had to, you know, we had to fly somewhere and he'd be watching like a plane wreck type of movie.
That's so
and
interesting.
And I'm like, what are you doing? My dad is always like, my dad doesn't typically like watching like relaxing cute things. It's just like nothing but horror. Like that's all. If my dad, like when he stays here sometimes, like he'll come and visit and because sometimes he'll travel alone or he'll come with my mom, but when it's just him by himself, he will just play Forensic Files. That is all my dad plays on the fucking TV. My dad. Like, I never see my dad watching a Disney movie or like.
I'm your dad. Jenny, I'm your dad.
Oh my God.
And here's my thing. You know how white noise is like loud noise that feels like nothing? Because when it's at a certain level and sounds a certain way, it actually like cancels out real noise.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about this type of stuff. It's like, it's so intense that it cancels out my anxiety. It's like, there's no guy with a mask and a knife coming to me.
That's so true. I mean, I can see how it cancels out your real life anxiety and makes whatever it is that you're worried about seem infinitely smaller.
Like right now, I just got 3 texts from my boss. I'm 9 minutes late to a meeting and my heart is coming out of my chest and I need to go and I am so anxious and I would absolutely.
I am dealing with the same thing.
Oh my God. Close.
I got 3
yes,
people
coming.
Calling me, my insurance adjuster for my car accident.
Oh my God. So I would rather, honestly.
I'm in the same boat.
Oh girl, honestly, real life is so much scarier and horror
really
is an escape.
Is.
And we should watch a horror film together or make one. I would like to make a real horror film with you.
That would be really funny. Women in horror. Hello.
I would like to do a horror film about a bikini waxer.
Sure.
There's nothing that gave me more fear than getting a bikini wax, like a Brazilian wax. Like I would fear it for weeks before my appointment. I feel like, and then it would happen. I'm like, yeah, I was in pain and it was horrible, but like, I'm alive. But I treated it as if like I was going to get sacrificed to the Mayan gods on the top of a pyramid. Like, I don't know why. Anyway.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.